So I would like to thank the organizers and thank the people that did a lot of this work. People from my group and from the STRI in Panama. Now, as most of you know, phosphorus is an important nutrient which limits plant growth both in agriculture systems and in natural systems like tropical forest. Now, the phosphorus cycle in soil is complex. We have all these reservoirs, and what's worse, we have all these fluxes, which is very hard to actually measure. So we seem to be stuck, we need some help, and since this guy is busy, we turn to stabilize isotopes. Now, there's been a lot of work in the recent years using stable isotope of phosphate, the oxygen stable isotopes in soils. I will not have time to give you a complete review, so we will focus on the work that my group been doing in the last few years. If you like a review, I recommend to read this paper by Deb Jassy and Ruth Blake. Some basics. We're talking about stable isotopes, so this is like standard definition, delta O18. But what is important about phosphate, we get the exchange between the oxygen in the phosphate and oxygen in the water and other places only through enzymatic reactions when we're speaking about common soil temperatures. Now, if you look at again, all this reservoir of phosphate and processes, there are mainly two processes where we see this exchange, these enzymatic reactions. So one is inside the living organism, it could be the microbial phosphate in the soil or inside the living plant. And we have phosphate inside the living cell, we have exchange of phosphate, the oxygen in the phosphate with the cell water. And we get what we call isotopic equilibrium with the water. Another important point where we get isotopic effects is mineralization. When we have phosphate bound to organic matter, it gets released out of it by phosphatase and other enzymes. And when this happens, we have another effect, what we call kinetic effects. So basically, I will go back to these two definitions. Throughout my talk, we talk about equilibration with the soil water happening inside the cell, and during mineralization, we'll have some enzyme and substrate-dependent kinetic effects. So the size of the isotopic effect and even the sign is enzyme and substrate dependent. We started off with mainly work in Israel. You see here a series of sites along the rainfall gradient going from the wet to the desert. And here we had another site which is also mesic Mediterranean but situated on basalt soils, or the rest are calcareous soils. We also have some sites around Lake Kinneret, which I will mention later in my talk. The two central sites in this rainfall gradient also have rainfall manipulation going. So here this is to reduce rainfall reaching the soil by 30%. You have some sprinklers here to increase water by 30%, and of course some control plots. If you look at the concentration, this is the seasonal changes in the concentration of available phosphate, resin extractable phosphate. So you can see that early in the winter, this is the growing season when the rain starts, we see a maximum, seasonal maximum. Then in all plots, we see a decrease towards spring. Spring is when you have maximum plant activity, so the plants are taking the phosphate. Nothing happened during the dry summer months. And coming the next winter, we see again a maximum. And you can see that in the irrigation plots, we get higher fluctuations, so there's more activity there. So this is just concentration, but we wanted to look at the isotopes. And here we look at the same seasonal changes, but now in delta O18 of the phosphate. Again, the resin P phosphate, the available phosphate. We can see again that nothing happened between spring and summer. Everything is dead. And we can see that in the beginning of the wet season, here and here, we see maximum variability. We see bigger variability between and within treatments. And as I will explain later, this got to do with the kinetic effects, with the mineralization processes. Another thing worth mentioning, we see the values here cluster around 17 per mil. If you look at the phosphate in the rock in this area, this is a sedimentary phosphorite with values which are around 22 per mil. So up here. So the phosphate here is not anymore giving the signature of the rock. Actually, this is a signature that agrees with the equilibration with water according to a very known equation published many years ago. If we look at the entire data, all the data points from all this site along the rainfall gradient, we can see they all cluster around the 17 per mil value, with maybe one or few outliers. And we look here at the available peak concentration, we see that this data plot around here, this is the basalt soil site, so the available peak concentration are much higher, but the same isotopic composition. Now, this is interesting because basalt has different delta-18P. It was exposed to high temperature, so the delta-18 of the phosphate in the rock is around 6 per mil, so down there, and this original signature was erased by the biology, and we get back to equilibrium value, the same as in the calcareous soil starting up here. If we want to see the basalt signature, we need to go to another extraction. We need to do some extraction with HCl, so we get also phosphate that the microbes cannot reach. And here, when you do the basalt soil, we're getting delta-18 values of around 8 per mil, so a lot of this is coming from the 6 per mil coming from the rock, some of it already been exchanged with the water through microbial activity. The other sites showing delta-18 values of 16 per mil, these two sites. Again, this is calcareous soil, so they started with 22, most of it was exchanged. And only when we go to the desert, some of the samples are still retaining the signature, the original signature of around 22 per mil. Now, what I was showing here and here is that equilibrium rules, microbial doing exchange with water, and all we get is equilibrium response. But I started off by saying that there are also kinetic effects during mineralization. So why don't we see them? So Avner Gross set up to find it, and we know about this mineralization effect, this kinetic effects, because of a series of lab experiments, series of paper by Wood Blake group, showing that there are very strong, sometimes up to 30 per mil, kinetic effects when organic P is getting released. And they've shown all these different effects with different enzymes and different substrates. But this was all shown in the lab. So you're taking a substrate, you're taking an enzyme you buy from Sigma, so it could be something extracted from shrimp or from calf liver, and you do this experiment. We wanted to see, I've never wanted to see, if this actually happens in soil. So he took a soil sample and add a spike of phosphate, in this case it was glycerol phosphate, so organic P, and look for the kinetic effect. And what we're looking here is the concentration of the inorganic phosphate. So the enzymes in the soil release the inorganic phosphate from the organic phosphate. So you see the concentration after adding the organic phosphate increase with time. At the same time, we see that delta-18 is getting lower. And this is exactly what we would expect from experiment from the Blake group. So there are these kinetic effects that happen in soil, but very quickly we see the microbes are taking the phosphate, and at the same time they are siphoning the phosphate, and what is left outside the cell is driven again towards isotopic equilibrium. Now, alkaline phosphatase is the dominant phosphatase in this pH, this pH of these soils, and this is what the kinetic effect we would expect. This is the values we should get. So we actually never get as down as here. The equilibration process erases it before we get all the way down here. So there are kinetic effects, but they are being erased. The same equilibrium process also operates in the field, not just in the lab. So Avner went and sampled different fields, all fertilized with phosphate derived from sedimentary rocks with values around 22-23. And as he sampled fertilized different times before sampling, as you go, more time goes after sampling, after fertilization, you can see the delta 18 drops toward equilibrium, which you remember was around 17 per mil. So this works also in the field. The farmers actually introduced a spike of high delta 18 phosphate for us. Now, these fields were situated around Lake Kinneret, and the reason we were interested in that is that this lake, also known as the Sea of Galilee, this lake is suffering from excess P inputs, which may cause algae bloom. And it turned out that a lot of the phosphate is coming in with the dust. So we wanted to know if it's coming from the natural soils, which you can see in summer they're quite dry, or from all these agricultural fields around the lake. And for doing this, we set up a dust sampler here, worked for an entire year. This is a high volume dust sampler. Did the isotope on the dust, and what we found is that all of our samples fall here in this range, which is around 21 per mil, which is what you have in the fertilizer and the fertilized soils. The natural soils around the lake has the values around here, much lower. This is the equilibrium values. So it turned out that, at least at this point, we are mainly influenced by agricultural fields, and of course the Water Authority of Israel found this research very interesting, and we're running this now for another year with samples both here and another sampler over here. Another site we worked in was in Panama, and this is together with Ben Turner and Joe Wright from the SGRI in the famous Barro Colorado National Monument. They have there an experiment running for over 16 years where they have fertilized the soil with different nutrients, the tropical forest. So Avner Gross went there, sampled soil, and also ran their incubations. We're looking now at the delta 18 of these soils, the soils that were not fertilized with phosphate. And surprisingly, we got nothing in the isotopic equilibrium range. Most of the soils we measured in Israel, and also the ones from other parts, like in Europe, are usually in the equilibrium range. Here we are above isotopic equilibrium with the soil water. So this was a surprise. Avner also took soils and incubated them in the lab. So we added a spike of phosphate, other phosphate starting with 22 per mil, or inorganic phosphate with 12 per mil. And when we do it with the soils we know, the soils from Israel, we always get to isotopic equilibrium. Here, all the soils, the control, the treatments, everything got to a value around 19 per mil. So about 3 per mil above equilibrium. How this can be explained? Well, we suggest that maybe something like this can work there. We have phosphate inside the microbial community. This is turned into phosphate in equilibrium by the intracellular metabolism. So we have phosphate in equilibrium. Some of it gets released back into the soil, into the inorganic phosphate pool in the soil. And when it's taken up by the microbial community, when they take it up, they have some fractionation going on. And if there's fractionation of 3 per mil, you can write down the equation, then it works. Now, this value of 3 per mil fractionation is interesting because the Black group reported the fractionation in uptake of 3 per mil for E. coli. Of course, this is different microbes, and in fact, for the other sites, we never see evidence for this fractionation in uptake. We might think about different mechanism going of active versus passive uptake, high affinity, low affinity mechanism. Anyway, it seems that something in this tropical microbial community is working differently than what we've seen in other soils. The same time that Avner was in Panama, he also installed a high-volume dust sampler here in the Barro Colorado Island. And the group of Ben Turner ran this for an entire year, collecting dust for us. We look here at the concentration of the coarse particles and the fine particles. And in the blue, we see the just climatology of the rainfall. And as can be expected, we're getting much more dust during the dry season, both in the coarse and the fine particles. Now, we did also the isotope for these samples, mostly the fine particles. We didn't have enough material to do the isotope on the coarse. And again, we're looking at the rainfall. And what we see that we get also seasonality in the dust, delta O18P. And what we get in the dry season, our values, which are around 19 per mil, this is exactly what we got for the local soils. So this makes sense. We have dry season, we have local sources. During the wet season, we get something else, around 16 per mil. Doesn't look at all like the local sources, so might be remote sources, which makes sense because, you know, the wet season, it's too wet to generate a lot of dust there. So what are these remote sources? Well, when talking about the America tropics, people always talk about dust coming from the Sahara, being blown across the Atlantic and reaching the Americas. As you can see in this animation, Panama is probably not the best site if you'd like to work on this Sahara dust. It's a bit not in the best spot. We plan to work next spring and summer here in Puerto Rico, getting maybe more evidence of transatlantic blown dust. What we already did is taking filters, dust samples, collected here in Cape Verde. So this is the dust as it's leaving the Sahara. And for these dust samples, we ran also the isotopes. And what we found is a range, both in the concentrations and in the isotopic composition. So this is the delta O18 of the phosphate. And this is 1 over P, 1 over the concentration. And what we expected to get is the 21 per mil, because this is the phosphate in sedimentary rocks. So this famous phosphorites you find in Morocco and all over North Africa is what we expected to get. Also, in dust event coming from the Sahara to Israel, we measured again this 21 value. Surprisingly, there were dust events with different composition. One big dust event came with this composition around 7 per mil. As I said earlier, this is the value you get for phosphate exposed to high temperature, so magmatic sources. And this came out, this is 1 over P, so this is very high concentration, about more than double than this one, almost triple. And other samples fall between these two extremes, and as you can see, we have here a linear relationship, and this is what geochemists call the isotope mixing line. So it seems like there are two sources. One are the marine sedimentary phosphorite, the other is the magmatic rocks, and some fall in between. It's also interesting that it's not just different sources, but also different concentrations. So if you're interested to see how much phosphate is coming with dust in the Sahara, is not enough to know how much dust is blown, which you can get by remote sensing. You need to know also the sources because of these different concentrations. And this was, well, rejected now from Nature Geosciences. Need to update it. We'll try PNAS. So I would like to conclude. What we found is that in working on soil, the delta 18 of the phosphate tell us something about the processes that happens there. We can learn about the microbial P turnover rates. As you see in the agricultural soil site, we see how fast the signature is being erased. We can also maybe learn about processes. I've shown you that the soils from the tropical site didn't get into the isotopic equilibrium with soil water. They got to some kind other value, some other equilibrium. which maybe tell us something about different processes going there in this microbial tropical soils. And the other part is, as I said, for the dust, we're interested to know where is this, what are the sources, what are the concentration of the phosphate in the dust. Of course, it has great influence both on the tropical forest in the Amazon, Central America, and also some influence on the Atlantic Ocean. And getting to know the sources will give us more information, as we saw, about the concentration. So this dust part is what we are really working on now, which we concentrate, and recently we've got funding to keep working on this. So I conclude now to leave some time for questions. Thank you. Well, not a lot of it reached Panama because, you know, it's after this bend, so a lot of it. Well, if you look here, actually the average, even you do the weighted average by concentration, it's asking 16 per mil. So it's remarkably close to the value we got here. Maybe. As I said, we really want to work now in Puerto Rico and really see this dust. I guess you need some modeling for it. It's very hard to see with the remote sensing. So with the remote sensing, we see where the plume is really strong, and when it's got diffused, it's really hard. So maybe some modeling studies could answer that. Sorry, I don't hear you. Can you repeat the question?
So, for the last example, you measured oxygen isotope composition.
Yes.
So, did you use the oxaloparatide in that sample for the measurement, or just use some specific fast
tools? Okay, I forgot to mention, what we showed is the resin people. So, it's again what is easily extractable, which is believed to be bioavailable.
On
the resin peak, yeah. So this is what affecting the forest and maybe the Atlantic also. What fraction of organic phosphate did I? What? For the dust, you mean? We removed the soil organic matter because it's carried oxygen, not just the phosphate, but every soil organic matter have oxygen, and we have to remove it, and this is part of the protocol. We use some resin that has high affinity to organic matter, and this was one of the main challenges in developing the metal. And this is why we do the resin P and the HCLP, but we failed with doing any basic extraction with NaOH or bicarbonate, because you get so much organic, it's impossible to get rid of.
Good question, Alan. So you saw 3 per mil of isotopic composition in lab incubation, then the equilibrium, right? So you've got 21 per mil coming down and one very low going down, going up. But
this one?
Not towards the equilibrium. Yeah. What is the interpretation here?
So if you're kind of a steady state, so the microbes are always making the phosphate in equilibrium with the water, and for some reason it seems that they're always kind of leaky, so they also in other soils they always release some of the phosphate back, and then they take it up, but if the uptake mechanism have a fractionation of 3 per mil, then if you write the equation, this is what you get. The inorganic phosphate here will be 3 per mil heavier than equilibrium in steady state. The question is why we got this 3 per mil in tropic soils. Blake found it in the E. coli, but other soils don't give this fractionation in uptake. And, well, we can speculate that maybe it's got to do with different mechanisms. It's well known that there are two different mechanisms to take up phosphate by cells. One is the high affinity, which actually use transporters, where you would expect to get fractionation, and the other is just channels, so you don't expect to get fractionation there. And this is, depends on the phosphate concentration in the soil.
So you're producing a low affinity uptake.
So maybe the low affinity, there is no fractionation, in the high affinity there is. But this needs to be checked. Just a suggestion.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, let's thank Alon again.